The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما عليك يا سيدي يا حبيبي يا رسول الله صلى الله على محمد نور من نور الله مرحبا خوش آمدید welcome to one and all to another beautiful and exciting silsila of our brand new series The Light of Guidance Subhanallah Subhanallah Alhamdulillah, this is a very unique series as we discussed that we will be discussing some many beautiful and various different topics, most importantly for the youngsters and the youth of today's time, because they have lots of misunderstandings and doubts in their hearts and minds. So inshallah azawajal, in this series we will try and cover majority of the difficulties and we will try to remove many of the misunderstandings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings as ashraful makhluqat, the best of creations. And alhamdulillah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave each one of us a responsibility, a reason, a purpose for creation. And what is that purpose? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran himself, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have not created the jinnat and the human beings, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, but for my worship. Means the only reason jinnat and human beings are created, the only reason we were created is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and we weren't created for no purpose. We were created with a purpose. So our aim, our maqsad, our intention, our striving should be to fulfill that purpose for which we are created. And whilst we are fulfilling that purpose, obviously we have to save ourselves. We have to protect ourselves from sin. We have to protect ourselves from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to protect ourselves from going against the teachings of Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And amongst the countless sins which a person can perform, yes, you can perform sins with your hands. You can hit somebody, you can slap somebody, you can steal something. You can perform sins with your legs. You can go to wrong places. You can kick somebody. You can do evil things with your legs. You can perform sins with your eyes, you know, looking at illicit things, looking at haram things, looking at things which are not permissible for you to look at. You can commit sins with your ears, listening to haram things, listening to evil things, listening to bad things. And with all of this, yes, you can also commit sins with your tongue. Allahu Akbar. This piece of flesh is such a piece of flesh that I think in the entire body, it's, you know, one of the smallest parts of the whole body. It's a tongue, a piece which doesn't even have any bones, any heart, nothing. It's just a soft piece of flesh. But the power this tongue has, it can destroy the next person or it can make the next person. I mean, your one word which you utter from your tongue can make the day of someone. Maybe in the morning you met him and you said something beautiful to him. And because those few words, you know, his entire day passes by nicely. He woke up and in the morning he heard these beautiful words from you. You know, his mood, he went in a good mood and the entire day passed beautifully. And this tongue also, in the morning, maybe you can say something bad to someone. You can utter something evil to someone. And that can have such an effect on him that his entire day can be ruined. Your one tongue can spoil the next person's reputation. Your one tongue can destroy the relation between two brothers. Your one tongue can destroy the relation between an entire family. Your one tongue can cause fights between people. Your one tongue can break the heart of the next Muslim brother. Your one tongue can cause doubts and misunderstandings in the heart of the next person. So many sins you can commit with just this piece of flesh, which is the tongue. Allahu Akbar. That is why my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the summary of a hadith, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that you give me guarantee of two things. Number one, that which is between your two thighs, means your private parts, and that which is between your jaws, means your tongue. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that give me the guarantee of these two things and I am giving you the guarantee and the glad tidings of Jannah. Subhanallah. Such a glad tiding that you are going to Jannah. Why? Just give me the guarantee of these two things, your private parts and your tongue. And how many of us can control this? Allahu Akbar, you know. Okay, many of us, we can control our private parts, although some people go to the extent where they indulge in filthy and illicit things, such as adultery, fornication, etc., etc. But there is a great number of people who can control their private parts. But controlling the tongue? Who's going to control the tongue? I mean, tongue is something that it takes a second for you to say something. When you're angry, you say something. You're irritated on something, you say something. When you are worried about something, you say something. When someone hurts you, you reply at the same time. Nobody's holding your tongue every moment. What you do is, as soon as something happens, you open your mouth and you say something. Allahu Akbar. And analyze yourself. Sit down one day with a piece of paper and write down, if you can, each and every word you spoke that whole day, or whatever sentence you spoke. Or if you actually want to test yourself, take a recorder and record yourself for the entire day. Whatever you spoke, you went for a business meeting, what you spoke, you went for coffee with someone, what you spoke, you met someone, what you said, you called someone, what you said, you spoke to someone, you were going to school, you were going to college, you were going to university, you were going to the masjid. Whatever you did the whole day, whenever you spoke, record yourself. In the end of the day, listen and record how many times you committed a sin with your tongue. You lied, you did backbiting about someone, you spoke ill about someone, you swore at someone, you shouted at someone, so many things. At the end of the day, you will get tired writing. But believe me, your sins which you committed with your tongue will maybe never come to an end. And from all those sins which a person commits with his tongue, one of those sins is backbiting. Allahu Akbar. This is such a sin where people have said that this is a great disease in the society. You can say a cancer in the society. Something which is destroying people. Something which is, you know, finishing people. Something which is creating riots. Something which is creating differences. Something which is creating problems in house, in family members, in relatives, in many, many places. This bad and filthy disease called backbiting is destroying everyone. What is backbiting? What are the harms of backbiting? Inshallah, we will learn that in today's beautiful silsila. A very important topic, because as we said that this silsila is mostly focusing on the youngsters and the youth. And it's the youngsters who interact with people. It's the youngsters who mostly, you know, have meetings, have this to do. They go to school, colleges, universities. Maybe they go for a job and they're working, you know. So they're continuously speaking. And for them to continuously speaking, they need to know the harms of speaking. What to say, what not to say, who to say it to, how to say it. All of these things they need to know. And one of the things which they need to know about is backbiting as well. One beautiful incident to start today's excellent topic, subhanallah. One Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi ta'ala, a very great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he went to attend a feast. Somebody invited him. So when he reached there, you know, people were speaking to each other and they said that so-and-so person didn't arrive as yet, so-and-so person didn't come as yet. So while they were discussing this, one person said, that fat person is so lazy. Allahu Akbar. As soon as Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi ta'ala, heard the sentence, that fat person is lazy, Allahu Akbar. He scolded himself. He reprimanded himself and he said, "Alas, I'm facing this trouble because of my stomach. I have come to a gathering in which backbiting is being committed against the Muslim." Allah, 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 Allah. He took the blame on himself that why did I come to a feast? Because my nafs, my inner self desired to eat something tasty, to eat something delicious, to have something nice, and because of that, you know, my nafs tempted me to come towards this place. And when I came here, what's the outcome? Is that someone was backbiting against a Muslim brother. Allahu Akbar. He says, after saying these words, he left that gathering and he did not eat anything for 3 days. And according to one narration, he did not eat anything for 7 days. Just to cover up for this mistake. He did not say anything about the Muslim brother. He was present there and somebody spoke in front of him and that words reached his ears. Allahu Akbar. And he took the blame on himself that why did I even come to this gathering where a Muslim brother is being spoken ill of. Allah. These were the pious predecessors. I mean, look at the feelings they had. Look at the way they would think. If something wrong is happening, they would take the blame on themselves. It's because of me this problem took place. And not only that, what did he say? You know, to cover up for that, he didn't eat anything for 3 days or for 7 days. Allahu Akbar. This is how the pious predecessors were. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We will discuss about the definition of backbiting, what the Quran says about backbiting, etc. But inshallah, before that, let's take a short break and listen to a beautiful and some very beautiful Madani pearls from Huzur Sheikh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnat. Dawud Barakatuhu Al-Aliyah regarding the topic of backbiting. And inshallah, as soon as we return from this short clip, inshallah, we will discuss this detail further. Please remain with us until we come back. Sallu al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam.
My question is, I had repented sincerely from committing sin of backbiting, but during conversation, other person backbited, and I heard that. Will it affect spirituality and essence of my fasting?
Doing backbiting is also a sin, and listening to it is also a sin. Because the one who's backbiting the other person is actually committing oppression. He is degrading him. And the one who's listening to the backbiting is seeing someone being oppressed, but is acting like a silent spectator. And he thinks to himself that I'm not saying anything to him, I'm not bothering him or causing harm to him. Provided that he is capable of stopping the other person. So in this case, he is culprit of not stopping the other person. Therefore, both of them are sinful. And in relation to backbiting, it is stated that it removes the spirituality of the fast. Now, sins committed outside Ramadan are also sins. And now to commit a sin in Ramadan, and that too whilst fasting. Committing a sin in Ramadan is more severer than committing sins in other days. And sinning whilst fasting is even severer than that. Since listening to backbiting is also sin, hence it is a very severe matter. Once upon a time, when two fast observing people finished their Zuhr or Asr Salah, then the knower of the unseen, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Both of you perform wudu and repeat your salah and complete your fast and make up for this fast the following day." They humbly asked, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, why are you giving this command?" He responded that you backbit so and so person. So this serves as warning for backbiting. There has been so much strictness in this saying that keep the fast again and repeat the salah as well and make up for the fast as well. The Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commanded them to do so. He is the owner of commands. He may issue whatever command to whomsoever he wishes. There's a lesson for us as well in this, that if we ponder upon our state today, reflecting upon our surroundings, then we will realize that backbiting has become our favorite hobby. Unfortunately, it is as if there's no life without backbiting. That's how common it is. And due to lack of knowledge, we don't even realize that we are backbiting. Many people are heedless of the fact that backbiting is going on, that they are backbiting. So whenever someone's negativity is being mentioned in front of you, the other person is being spoken ill of, then the person should straight away become cautious. Just consider it to be signs of danger for yourself that are alerting you, keeping you on your toes to be cautious of backbiting. And at times it happens. And at times there's also a need to highlight the negative element. It's permitted if there's a need, but only as per one's need. So we at times indulge into backbiting. May Allah Almighty protect us from backbiting.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. سبحان الله سبحان الله. We were discussing regarding the pious predecessors that how they would tackle this act of backbiting when it was done in front of them. Sayyidina Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, when he heard that someone was speaking bad about another Muslim brother, then he left that gathering. The question comes, which everyone should ask himself, that let alone leaving the gathering, if somebody speaks ill of another Muslim brother in front of us, how many of us start partaking in that discussion? And our ears turn up, we start getting excited, we also want to put our input. Then we'll put something from our side, the third person will put something from his side, and within moments, the entire gathering will become a gathering filled with sin and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because just one person started it. So, put yourself in that situation, that you started speaking something bad about someone. The next person joined, the third person joined, the fourth person joined, and everyone joined continuously. There will come a time where that four or five people who are speaking about that specific individual, all that sin is going to come to you. Why? Because you are the one who started the conversation with them regarding that person. Now analyze this and think throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your month, how many hundreds and thousands of such gatherings you partake in, or you start the conversation, or you listen to it, or you discuss about it. All of these things are sinful. This is just one sin we are talking about, backbiting regarding the tongue. Allahu Akbar. What is backbiting? Subhanallah. Sayyidina Shaykh Imam Ahmad ibn Hajar Makki Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala narrates, the blessed Islamic scholars rahimahumullahu ta'ala have said, to mention the fault which a person has is called backbiting. Whether that fault is in his religious matters, in his worldly matters, in his personality, in his character, in his wealth, in his children, wife, servant, his clothes, his imama, his behavior, his manners, you know, his smile, anything, whatever that matter is about, you know, you speak and you mention the fault of that person, that is called backbiting. Allahu Akbar. Some people say, Mulana Sahab, no, we are mentioning the fault which that person has. So we're not lying, we're not saying anything wrong. He has that fault. So listen to a beautiful hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once asked his Sahaba Ikram, do you know what backbiting is? So Sahaba Ikram replied, Allah and his beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew best. This was the manner the Sahaba Ikram used to reply to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whenever they were asked a question by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if they knew the answer or they didn't know the answer, both cases, they would say that Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam know best. Subhanallah. This is the aqidah of the Sahaba Ikram. That Allah knows best, and yes, his beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also knows best, because he has been given that knowledge from the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Subhanallah. So this was the answer. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba Ikram, do you know what backbiting is? The Sahaba Ikram said, Allah and his beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam know better. Then the beloved and blessed Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, backbiting is that you talk about your brother in a way which he dislikes. So it was humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah, what if he has the fault? He has that bad fault, or he has that aib, that bad thing, and we are speaking about it then? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, if he has the fault which you are talking about, the fault that you are talking about, if he has it, then you have committed backbiting against him. And if he does not have that fault, then you have slandered him. Allah, 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 Allah. In both cases, you are stuck. Whether he has the fault, you spoke about him, you are still stuck. Whether he doesn't have that fault, you spoke about him, you are still stuck. Both situations, you are stuck. So there cannot be an option, Munasa, what if he has that quality or he doesn't have that quality? In both places, you are wrong. You have no right to speak about the fault and the bad qualities of another Muslim brother. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this ghibat, about this backbiting in the Holy Quran. This act is actually haram. It's a haram act. It's a big sin, gunai kabira, and it is such an act which takes a person towards Jahannam. Allah Allah. Allah Ta'ala mentions in ayat number 12 of Surah Hujurat, para number 26, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And do not backbite one another. Then he further says, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَيَّأَكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Allah 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 Allah. Would any one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would not tolerate it. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning here that first he says, don't backbite. Then he asks a question that, would any of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? Then he answers himself, he says, فَكَرِهْتُمُ. You would not tolerate it, you would dislike it. You will never ever eat the flesh of your dead brother. The question comes to mind, what does backbiting have to do regarding eating the flesh of the dead brother? Listen to a beautiful hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sadrul Afadil, Hazrat Allama Mulana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi mentioned in Khazanul Irfan the reason for the revelation of this ayat. He mentions when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would set out on jihad, then he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would group one poor person with two rich individuals so that the poor person would serve his rich companions and the rich would feed him. So this is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would keep them grouped. So everyone is happy, everyone is satisfied. So Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, once he was grouped with two individuals. And one day, you know, he fell asleep and he could not prepare a meal for his participants, for his companions. So his companions sent him to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to get some food because he didn't prepare it. And Sayyidina Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the slave and the servant of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam basically. So Hazrat Sayyidina Salman went to Sayyidina Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu and asked him for food. And at that time Sayyidina Usama did not have anything. So he told him that, you know, I don't have any food left and I don't have anything to give you. So Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu came back and he told this to his companions. So when the companions heard this, they replied, Usama has become stingy. Was Usama the servant of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did not have anything, that's why he didn't give anything. But when they heard this, they said, Usama has become stingy. Allah Allah Allah. So when these two people came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I can see the color of flesh in your mouth. So they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have not eaten anything. You're saying that you saw flesh, but Ya Rasulullah, we didn't eat anything. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, you have committed backbiting, and the one who backbites against a Muslim eats the flesh of a Muslim. Allah Allah Allah. So coming back to the ayat, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ, would any one of you like and love to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would not tolerate it. So if you cannot eat the flesh of your dead brother, why are you doing that action which is eating the flesh of your dead brother, and that is backbiting and speaking ill and evil about your Muslim brother behind his back? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to control this tongue of ours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and tawfiq to always use this tongue for good purposes and for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to utilize this tongue for the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the zikr of his beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen. There are many ways a person
can use to stop himself from backbiting. And what are those many ways? Subhanallah. Sayyidina Zayd, rahmatullahi ta'ala, has mentioned, how strange is the person who knows that he has such and such fault, even then considers himself to be a good human, whereas he considers his Muslim brother to be a bad person only on suspicion or rumors. This is one way to save yourself from backbiting. What is that? That whenever you think or you want to speak evil about your Muslim brother, you want to say something against your Muslim brother, then just think and ponder. How many sins do you have? How many faults do you have? How many bad qualities do you have? And believe me, you, if the answer comes, no, you are a perfect person, you don't have any sins, you don't have anything wrong, then that's the biggest lie which you can tell yourself. Because by Allah, each and every human being is covered in sins. The only personalities who are pure, who it's impossible for them to commit sins, are the Anbiya alayhimus salam, the great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, they cannot commit sins. They are masoom. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are also masoom. But we as human beings, we are human beings filled with sins. Day and night we commit sins. Openly we commit sins. Secretly we commit sins. We will inform our sins to others as well. Everything wrong we will do. And if somebody asks us, or if we ask ourselves, I don't do anything wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. I have never done anything wrong. I'm a perfect person. I do this, I do that. That's the biggest lie you can tell yourself. Some people perform 2-3 salahs, maybe for two, three days they'll perform 5 times salah, and they'll think that, yes, we have become the most pious people on this earth. A person will go to perform Hajj, and then he will become a Haji Sahib, and he will think, yes, I am the most respectable person on this earth. A person will maybe have some wealth, and that wealth he gave some in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will think that, yes, everybody must now, come and serve me, everybody must now come and respect me, kiss my hands, kiss my feet, I have become the best person on this earth. That's the biggest lie you can tell yourself. You are filled with sin. And every person, if you ask yourself honestly, from the bottom of your heart, ask yourself this question, that how many sins do I commit? By Allah, you will get the answer from your heart. Then you will know that you commit this sin, you commit this sin, you commit this sin, you commit this sin. Unfortunately, many of us are habitual of committing sins. Habitual means that, like a person cannot sleep if he doesn't eat anything. If a person is hungry the entire day, at night he won't sleep. Why? He needs something to eat. If a person doesn't drink water for quite some time, he needs something, he needs that water. So, likewise, there are some people that until they don't commit a certain sin, they have that anxious, that anxiety in them, that, no, I need to do this specific bad and filthy deed. And then only they feel relaxed, ma'azallah. So, you're still telling me that you have no sins? You still believe that you have no sins in your account? No. I have just mentioned to you the sins which a person can commit with his tongue. This is only the tongue I am discussing. And that too only one specific thing, backbiting. We didn't even start discussing lying. We didn't even start discussing tale telling. We didn't even start discussing swearing or slandering the next person. We didn't even start discussing shouting and using vulgar words. We didn't even start discussing the sins of the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, the other body parts. Just with this tongue, there is a thousand and a list of thousand sins which a person can commit. And still a person thinks he doesn't have any sins, then he is the biggest liar. He's lying to himself and he's lying to the people around him. So, one effective way to prevent yourself from backbiting, whenever you want to speak about the next person, about your Muslim brother behind his back, then think and ask yourself this question, how perfect am I? And you're not perfect. Do I have that sin? Maybe you won't have that sin, but there is something else which you are doing. Maybe you won't have that bad deed. Maybe there is something worse which you are doing. Use this method here. And once you have used this method here, inshallah azza wa jal, with the fadl and the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will notice that inshallah your sins and your filthy habit of backbiting against others will automatically start reducing. Another effective way is make a firm intention that you don't want to speak against anyone. Some people say, you know, Nasab, I don't say anything, he is speaking, I'm just listening. You know, you are also sinful. The one who is speaking against his Muslim brother is sinful. The one who is listening to it is also sinful, even if you did not say anything. So many people say, I don't backbite against anyone, but he is listening to everyone's stories, everyone's things he will know. That's also a sin. If somebody speaks evil about your parents in front of you, and you just sit and you listen, and I say that this person is speaking against your parents, you won't tell me, yes, I'm just listening, I'm not saying anything. No. You'll stand up, you'll shout at him, you'll fight at him, you'll leave that gathering, you won't even like that person anymore. Why? Because they're your parents. They are respected, they're your honorable parents, you love them, they love you. Somebody speaking against them, it hurts your heart. Here, a person is speaking against your Muslim brother. Allah SWT is mentioning in the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. That indeed, the Muslims, the mu'mins are brothers to one another. Summary of the ayat. When Allah SWT has made you brothers, then he is your Muslim brother, irrespective of whoever he is. He's tall, he's short, he's young, he's old, he's fair, he's black. Whatever he is a Muslim, he is your Muslim brother. How can you tolerate someone speaking against your Muslim brother? If you feel that that person will listen to you, that person will repent, that person will stop speaking, it is wajib upon you to stop him there. And say, listen, you don't speak about this Muslim brother. You know, repent, change the topic. Say something else. Let's speak about something else. There are 1,000 things you can speak about which don't involve backbiting in it. So another effective way of refraining and stopping yourself from backbiting is whenever somebody starts a discussion, whenever somebody wants to start a discussion, change the topic, finish it there, tell him to stop or leave that gathering and go away. Move away from there. And making intention that I do not want to listen to anything regarding my Muslim brother. As you won't listen to it regarding your parents, your siblings, likewise you won't listen to it regarding your other Muslim brothers. Allahu Akbar. Inshallah Azawajal, we'll now take a short break and we will listen to some beautiful words regarding the same topic of backbiting. And as soon as we return back from the short break, inshallah, we will be discussing more about this beautiful topic, and inshallah azawajal, we will discuss some very important points related to this beautiful topic. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
On the night of Mi'raj, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam witnessed many unusual things and witnessed many, many horrible scenes as well. In one scene, it is mentioned in Mir'atul Manajih that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam witnessed a group of people that were scratching their own faces and their nails were made out of copper. And when they were scratching their faces and their bodies, their skin would peel off. And they would cry in pain. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel alayhi salam, O Jibreel, who are these people? And why are they scratching themselves like this? And Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam replied, O beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, these people used to backbite against the Muslims. And they used to disrespect and dishonor their respect as well. And therefore, this punishment has been given to these people. They should learn a lesson from this. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, as Muslims, we all understand how important it is to have a good respect. You know, we all want to be respected. As they say, the way I want to be treated myself, we need to treat others as well. If I want to be respected by the people, then I need to give respect to other people. But sadly, you see, in our communities today, in our homes today, and sadly, in our masajids today, people will sit down, groups of people, and they will talk about someone behind their back. They will talk about his, you know, dishonoring his respect. They will talk about his family. They will talk about his clothing. They will talk about anything that they can find about that person. This is not a good trait of a Muslim. A Muslim is he from whose hands and tongue other Muslims are free. So please, let's all do tawbah, repent from our sins in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and try to be pious Muslims. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا حبيبي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. الحمد لله, we were discussing this exciting and beautiful topic related to backbiting, which is indeed a cancer, a very, very, very big disease in our society. It is such a disease which has destroyed the house and the homes of people, such a disease which has caused, you know, riots and drifts amongst many relations and relatives, and many, many, many bad things happened. Allahu Akbar. One thing every person should always keep in their mind and make a firm intention, and this is one of the main messages which I want to leave every person with today. That is, it's impossible that, you know, we make an intention that we're not going to backbite against another person. We're not going to say something or anything against the next person. But it is impossible that nobody will come and speak to us related to someone or about something or someone. Yes, people are going to come, they are going to speak about different people, and they will say different things. So we mentioned this here that the first thing you should do is change the topic, change everything, or leave the gathering and move away. But if from some unknown sources, from around, somewhere, something reached your ears regarding so-and-so person, something reached your ears regarding your Islamic brother, regarding this year, don't commit the sin of now judging that person and having badgumani and misconceptions about that person. Why? Because this is another problem which is going to start, and this is a problem which is now going to destroy everything. That's our problem. We first listen to something evil against someone. That person is fat, that person has this bad quality. Someone will say something which is a secret. Only that person and the person who is speaking knows. And this person revealed his secret, his sin he committed by revealing the secret of his Muslim brother. That person trusted him and told it to him, and here he is revealing the secret. What we do is we listen without confirming, without, you know, acknowledging the fact. We'll start judging, we'll start misunderstanding, you know, we'll start having doubts and bad thinkings related to that person. Why? Just because of something which we heard, just because of something which came to our ears and we did not verify it. Allahu Akbar. So one thing which every person should keep in his mind is that whenever you hear something against your Muslim brother, whenever you hear something related to your Islamic and Muslim brother, don't ever just believe it without any knowledge, without any confirmation, without anything. It is confirmed. Let's say, you know, you are 100% sure it happened. Maybe you even spoke to that person and he acknowledged the fact. He told you about it. Yes, this thing is true. Still, you have no right to now tarnish his reputation, to go and make a big, you know, havoc about it, to go and make a big noise about it, to go and spread it everywhere. No. Why do we have this filthy habit in us that we want to listen everyone's faults, we want to speak about everyone's faults, we want to mention the faults to everyone, until we don't mention it to the next person, we start having a sort of, you know, tickle in our stomach. That's unfortunately the state of some people. Until they don't hear something bad against someone, until they don't speak something bad against the next person, their food will not digest, basically. And we should ask ourselves, are we also included in those people? That whenever we go to a gathering, our gathering is never ever empty from these kind of filthy and evil discussions. Our gathering is never ever empty from these kind of backbiting and wrong deeds which we are committing with our tongue and with our ears. Ulama-i Kiram have mentioned that gathering in which the zikr and the remembrance and the mentioning of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not done, that is not even fit to be called a gathering. Big question mark comes in front of everyone. That how many gatherings do we attend, and in the gatherings we make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we speak about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we speak something Islamic. And by Allah, if you have to take out a list, if you have 50 gatherings, maybe one or two gatherings will be like this in which we'll speak about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, the other gatherings is futile and nonsense things. We'll talk about the entire world. We'll talk about directors. We'll talk about this, that, that brother, this brother. And we can talk for hours and hours and hours. And how much sins is coming in your account? You know, when somebody backbites regarding the other Muslim brother, what happens is sin comes in the account of the one who is backbiting, and the one who is being backbitten, the one about whom you are speaking, his sins are being removed. His sins are being removed. So you're enjoying at the moment. I mean, you're speaking about so-and-so person, and you are saying lots of nonsense and lots of his faults you are mentioning. Tell me, is it hurting him in any way? Is it harming him in any way? Is it affecting him in any way? Your words are between you all. Nothing is happening to him. He's still living his life. He's still carrying on. He's still doing anything. In fact, you are helping him. How? By removing his sins. And you are causing difficulty for yourselves. How? By putting sins in your account. It's just this mentality you can keep. No? That, you know, why? There's a loss here. Why should I put sins in my account and, you know, I'm wiping off the sins of my Muslim brother? If you want to help a Muslim brother and remove his sins, then use a lawful way. Use a beautiful way. Use an Islamic way. Take him for salah. You know, speak good things to him. Teach him good things. Make him practice good things. Make him read the Holy Quran. Make him pious. Make him act upon Shariat. Automatically, his sins will start decreasing. Why do you want to decrease his sins in a method where you are putting sins in your account as well? If you know of a business that if you do something, you know, your opponent or your partner, let's say the other person who runs the business also, he'll keep on getting the profit and you will keep on getting a loss. Will you carry on this specific action? No. I mean, which person would like that, you know, he should keep on going in loss, and because he's doing that action, his partner is getting profit, but he is getting loss. No, that's something, you know, insane to do. What we were supposed to do, we must do such an action where our partner must also get a profit and we should also get a profit. If somebody thinks that, no, you know, my partner mustn't get the profit, I must just get the profit, that's also wrong. My partner must get the profit, I must get the loss, son must keep on coming in my account, that's also wrong. What you must intend for is my partner should get the profit, I should also get the profit. And that's how it is. You should do those actions in which your Muslim brother also gets good deeds and reward from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should also get reward from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remove this thinking from your mind that if you are backbiting against the next person, yes, for 1-2 seconds, you know, maybe there was something tickling in your stomach or in your head, and you uttered it, you blurted it out from your mouth, you mentioned it. But believe me, you by Allah, it had no effect on that Muslim brother. In fact, it helped him. And, you know, his sins were reduced. So these are many ways which a person can use, and a person can, you know, try to act upon these things here to save himself from committing these various sins from with his tongue. And I mentioned in the beginning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave glad tidings. I mean, you control your private part, you control your tongue, and Jannah, the glad tidings of Jannah is for you. Why such a big glad tiding was given? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew what harms come because of this tongue. How filthy this tongue is. How rotten this piece of flesh is. You know, every morning when a person wakes up, then all his body parts address the tongue. And they say that you should remain silent today. You shouldn't say anything today. You control yourself. Why? Because if you control yourself, then all of us, you know, will be safe and sound. And if you go out of control, then all of us are going to suffer because of you. And it's true. You swore someone. He swore you back. It hurt your heart. Who caused the problem? Your tongue. Your tongue is the one who swore. The pain was caused to your heart. You said something to someone. Because of that, maybe you got hiding or someone hit you. Someone hit your hand, someone hit your leg, you broke your hand, you broke your leg. Who got affected? The hand, the leg. The hand and leg didn't say anything. The one who spoke was the tongue. But who is getting the outcome and the hiding is your hand and your leg. Did you ever see anyone that he said something bad and his parents or his brother or someone took out his tongue and started hitting his tongue? No, nobody does that. Who does that? Because that's the duty of the tongue. The tongue will say something and it will go back in the mouth. It is covered behind 32 bars, the steed eyes protectors. It's right in the back. So it will just come out, cause the problem and go back. And the entire body is going to suffer now because of that piece of flesh, which is your tongue. Allahu Akbar. So ponder about these things. You can control your tongue. That's the first step you will take by going closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everything is going to start with your tongue. The moment you know how to control your tongue, what to say, when to say it, how to say it, who to say it to, that's the moment you must know you are starting to become successful. Because this tongue can cause lots of problems, and this tongue can amend and fix many problems as well. The thing is, you must know how to use this piece of flesh. Allahu Akbar. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to protect our tongue, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to always remain obedient to Him. The few messages which I'm going to leave you all with today is, first of all, make a firm intention that we are not going to, we try our level best to not speak anything ill against any Muslim brother. Whatever fault it is, it does not concern you, it's that Muslim brother's fault. We'll try to speak to him, we'll try to tell him about that fault, about that thing, and maybe inshallah he'll rectify himself. Why do you need to tell the entire world about it? Tell that person. That's the first good quality which we make an intention to carry on, inshallah. The second thing which I want everyone to do is that if a gathering is taking place, in that gathering people are speaking about someone, then we will try and rectify those people. We will tell them that, you know, let's not speak about that person. If they listen to us, we'll make them repent. If we know they'll listen to us, then it is wajib, necessary upon you all to speak to them and tell them to keep quiet, change the topic, don't speak about it at all. Make them repent. And the worst case would be that, you know, if you know they're not listening to you, whatever, then you leave that gathering. And the third thing I want everyone to act upon is that if by any chance something reaches your ears, then based on that, we're not going to put misunderstandings and misconceptions in our heart regarding a Muslim brother. These three qualities, make intention that inshallah we will act upon it. And inshallah, azawajal, you know, the environment will become happy and the environment will become an excellent environment. If the youngsters who are watching me, if they can adopt these qualities in their colleges, schools, universities, then trust me, believe me, you, those places will become excellent. But you'll start, inshallah. You start, your friends will start, your entire area will start, inshallah. Everything will fall into place. With these few words, we have come, unfortunately, to the end of our beautiful and lovely silsila. And we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to control this piece of flesh, which is our tongue. And may we continue refraining from various sins and from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Till then, be happy, stay happy, remain positive, think positive, stay positive. Remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart, in your mind. And this love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, basically and definitely, it is the base and the essence of your iman. If you have this love, you have everything. If you don't have this love, by Allah, you have nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep everyone happy and smiling. We hope to meet soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.